This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday in the studio, well within striking distance. My partner, my best friend, Mark C. here, Tobin. Mark is the only guy that I know that when the Titanic was sinking, he would be fishing off the back.
Well, you would think there'd be a lot of fish that would be in
exactly.
the vicinity. So that's an opportunity you don't want to pass up.
That's right. And if you were fortunate enough to get in one of those boats, the first thing you would take is your rod, your reel, and your tackle box.
Well, we would survive, hopefully.
If we're going to be out here, let's fish.
That's right. Hey, nice.
Something strange about you, Tobin. I don't understand this. You know, and what is your passion so intense on these catching these little fishes?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I have no idea what that is. I just, like outsmarting a critter that has a brain the size of a pea.
I have a hard time fishing for bass because they put their eye behind a stick and they think they're hid.
Right.
Boy, I tell you, unbelievable what's going on in the outdoor world. We got so much to cover in just 1 hour.
Boy, this is the time you want to be outdoors.
Yes, it's getting. Although here we got this snowstorm alleged
to come.
That? And now the guy out of. Where was it? I was listening to some radio station. I have true loyalty here, but every once in a while I sneak off to another station. But a week from today, another snowstorm.
You got to be kidding me.
Yes, and this is not looking good.
Well, the only good thing is they can't predict a forecast from day to day, much less 2 weeks out. So
when I went outside to smoke a cigarette before the show, there's a pretty cool lightning storm going on outside.
Yeah,
so
I
think we're going to get some rain, too.
Lightning today and snow tomorrow, only in the Midwest.
Well, I should have joined him. I don't smoke cigarettes, but I sure would have liked to inhale a good cigar out here on the back end, but we had enough time, but I don't. Good Cuban from time to time sets you straight, you know.
Well, even if it doesn't snow, it's still only going to be a high in the 30s.
And
April?
April
Fools. There's Mother Nature pulling an April Fools joke on us.
Oh, well, what the hey. Hey, some things of information that you should be knowing and conversant with. A plethora. As I used that
there
word
you go.
Last
you used that last week. Twice you used it last week.
Plethora of information. Reed Chevrolet, our greatest sponsor that ever walked. Right? I got to be with Trevin for just a few minutes yesterday, but he's a good human. That whole bunch up there is as good as I've ever been around. I like being around them because I love being around successful people. And those guys are something. But Reed Chevrolet is so kindly sponsoring this catfish tournament. It's coming up July the 14th, and that's a long ways away. Might be snow on the ground still, but you have to schedule your tournaments. And this is the one that you want to kind of put in the back of your brain, or you need to send your entry fee in now. It's $150 to enter this, and $25 or more if you get there late on the entry fee. But first place is guaranteed $5,000.
Dang, that's serious money.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Now, and it even gets in the big fish, you're guaranteed $500.
Nothing wrong with that either.
That wouldn't be bad. You know, put one of them 60-pounders in the boat. You want them blue cats.
That can happen.
That can happen, too. But the best part of this tournament is you catch five fish, limited catfish weighing 225 pounds or more during the tournament, pass a polygraph, and they give you a brand new Silverado pickup.
Wow, now that's cool.
That would come in handy.
Yes, it would.
It'd look good in your driveway.
It would.
Yes,
yeah.
It would. Man, this starts at 7 p.m. on July the 14th, and it goes to 10 a.m., which is weird. I wonder if that's a misprint.
When is this again?
I got to get to the bottom of that deal. It is July the 14th. It must be a night tournament.
What time's the weigh-in?
It's 10 a.m., so you go to 7 o'clock at night to 10 o'clock the next morning.
Really?
Yeah, on the Missouri River in the dark.
That's not for me.
Oh, it'll make you tough.
Or make me dead.
Oh, you'll be all right.
I just don't know the river. I couldn't do it.
Yes, you
I'd
could.
I'd have to have you,
I can
navigate
do it.
Me.
I could do it, but I wouldn't want to, but I can do it, you know. I've been out there in the dark. It's not a pleasant experience sometimes. But
is the weigh-in open to the public?
Oh, boy, is it. And they're going to have bleachers, and they're alleged to have a tent and refreshments and all that stuff. Because last year, I think it was 81, 82, 83 boats that were in this tournament.
Was it an all-night tournament last year,
no,
too?
No, I don't think it was. I don't remember. Gray matter's not lining up here. Yeah, I went through the 60s.
Oh,
well,
that
my
explains, that explains it.
But anyway, it's just a bizarre little tournament that starts again July the 14th, 7 p.m. to 10 a.m. Must all-nighter. And mandatory meeting on July the 14th at 3 p.m. at the French Bottom Boat Ramp. That's up at St. Joe by the casino. You can go in there and win a bunch of sack of money, too, while you're there, too. Might as well just hit them all, hit the money, hit the $5,000 guarantee first place and the big fish and the Silverado. That'd be a good weekend, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. And fishing.
And fishing all on the top of it. But, you know, this is quite a deal. I would imagine, I don't know this, I'm going to go out on a limb, but I think there'll be over 100 boats in this tournament.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah. And it's... really is for blue cats an awful good fishery. You know, it's a little bit more of a challenge on the Missouri River to catch a blue cat, I feel. But my good friend Jeff Martinez, which you've never met Jeff,
nope.
Have you?
No. Nope.
Jeff was out the other day, had his deer hunting clothes on, and he put three of the nicest blue cat in a boat you ever saw on shad. He said they stink.
What does?
Shad.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Imagine.
Yeah. Shad guts. Why would they be stinking? I don't understand that.
You know, I did have a neighbor down at Lake of the Ozarks that he was just, I mean, if it came to eating fish, he'd rather have that than any kind of a steak. He'd rather have that than anything, period.
You have a strange
neighbor. But he was not much of a fisherman. And we were fishing one day, and I snagged a shad, and it was a big shad, and threw it back. And he said, "Why'd you throw that back?" I said, "Well, it's a shad." He said, "Well, yeah." I said, "It's a shad. It's a bait fish." He said, "Oh, well, I did think they were kind of strong and kind of mushy."
He was eating the shad?
Yes.
Wow. But now, who are you to point fingers because you ate gar?
Well, yeah, but that was good.
No, it was not. Mark Tobin, I eat paddlefish, too, and you tell me it's good. It isn't good. It tastes like mud off the bottom.
No, you just got to know how to prepare
it. No, they're sewer inspectors. I mean, what do you think they do? They dig down in the bottom of the...
They don't dig. That's not what that paddle, or it's called a... Technically, it's called a rostrum. But that is just like a big antenna is what that is. Did you know that?
What's it called technically?
Rostrum.
They're talking about big words.
But they feed on the tiniest little organism, which is plankton. And plankton give off a tiny little electrical impulse. And that rostrum, or the paddle, it is like a big antenna. It detects those little impulses that the plankton gives off. So they know when they're around food, so they just open their mouth and swim around and gulp it up. But no, it's not used to stir up the bottom. But still.
No, we saw that on the graph. Remember that when they were making that nest? And remember that guy said, "See that cloud?" You probably don't remember,
I do.
But we were in Grand Lake Cherokee, fishing on the Grand River. What was that guy's name?
Jim Wagner.
Jim Wagner. What a great guy.
Oh, boy, he can guide you to Spoonbill. And you can fish for them year-round down there.
Yeah, and he would say, he told me over to that graph, it was set so sensitive, you see the mud line coming up off of them. Of course, that was a female building the nest, basically, is what that was all about. But he was so good, he'd say, tap me on the shoulder, and he'd say, "Get that right rod."
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, he'd tell you what side of the boat the fish was on, whether it was a male or a female.
Oh, yeah.
Which, that pretty much just is by size, I think. But because, I mean, it's not like you can spread the fins and check the crotch or anything.
Yeah, this is true. Never thought of it that way. Jeez. Here we go again. You know, last Saturday, we were doing a radio show here, and we were just cruising through the road of life. I mean, everything was doing just fine, and all of a sudden, you said something, and we went off in the ditch, and the mud flew, and I mean, it was just...
What?
Well, I can't say what you said, but that wasn't very pleasant on the air.
There was nothing wrong with that.
Comparing a turkey's breast to a woman's breast. I didn't think, I just didn't, it just didn't need to go there.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
What do you mean? Some people
it's
offended.
It's an honest comparison.
It offended some of the listeners, I'm sure.
You think so? Well, probably.
How about the lady that wrote me the letter that time and said, how would you like to have a hook in your mouth and pulled out of your natural environment?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know if I had a hook in my mouth, I'd go wherever that hook wanted to go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fight it, but a fish doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They fight.
I find that bizarre.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, fish, you know, they don't have a brain. They can't process information like we do.
You're sure?
Positive.
You know, if there's anybody that would talk to a fish, it'd probably be you.
I have done that before.
You've talked to the fish?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, next Friday night, I'm going to be in Mound City, Missouri on April the 6th at 6 p.m. for cocktails.
Why?
And appetizers.
What kind?
I don't know.
I should be there.
You'd probably show up if there was food involved.
Yeah.
But how do you stay so skinny?
That's funny.
Huh?
That's funny.
You're about to blow away.
You're the skinny one of us two.
Well, did you see them pictures posted on Facebook? Made me look like I was about 4 foot around.
No.
Had my shirt tail out, and I went, wow, I can't see my physique, my muscle.
Well, that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Has anybody ever go to our Facebook?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would they do that? I don't understand.
Oh, and now that you mention that, I should give, because I failed to give out our Facebook address last week. It's Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB. If you have not gone there, go give us a like. We're always putting something funny up there. Greg Thompson and my son Garrett, they maintain our Facebook page for us. And we're always finding something funny to put up there. So get up there and take a look and get a laugh.
The guy pulling the boat down the road is on fire. I about fell out of my chair laughing. That can only happen to me. You know, and I got thinking about that guy. How did you unhook that?
Yeah. Where was he going?
How would you get that close to the boat to unhook it? You know, you'd have to lose everything. Lose your pickup truck and the boat. And then when we had the monster on there.
Oh, you've got to find that. The demon?
The demon.
This was the two guys that were turkey hunting. No, they were setting up for deer, wasn't it? And they had a trail cam set up, and it started going off. Mm-hmm. Well, so they thought they better get out of there because they thought there was a deer nearby.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until the next day when they came and checked their camera. There was something that appears to be a demon.
Behind him.
Behind him, right.
Yeah.
It gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever those are.
If nothing else, that's the only reason you go to the Facebook. But this is so bizarre. I don't know what was behind him, but it wasn't good.
It's a kind of a grainy picture, but you can still see what looks to be hair and dark set eyes on the thing.
Yeah.
But you've got to get me the guys.
An entity is what they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it's bizarre, whatever it is.
Now, here's the reason I brought up this cocktails on Friday, April the 6th. Would you have a cocktail, Mark?
I would.
A whole one, or would you take half, or would you take two, three?
Sure.
You would?
Depends on what it is, I guess.
You'd have to drive back to Kansas City. See, I'll get out of this thing. I'll probably get home at midnight.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to get up till 3:30.
Oh, that's on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't no good.
That ain't going to be no good.
So what is it? You still haven't said what it is.
I forgot. I went through the 60s.
Yeah, right.
You know, with old age, you know, you can always just say, I forgot.
Yeah.
You know?
That's nothing to do with your brain damage.
It has a lot to do with it. Improper potty training when I was a baby and brain
60s.
Damage both, you know. Oh, well. Where did we get off? Friday, April the 6th, 6 p.m., cocktails and appetizers. The program starts at 7 p.m. This is going to be at the club in Mound City, Missouri. they're going to tell you what's going on. Squaw Creek National Wildlife Refuge has, over the generations, have taken it on the chin, and they fill Squaw Creek by putting down the locks and the dams. The creek runs on both sides of the reservoir. And so to fill the refuge up during the migration period, they put those locks and dam. Well, if you get a big rain and you get all this silt, and over the generations now, some of the north end of that's probably got 3 and 4 or 5 foot of silt. And it's killed all the trees and all this stuff. So they're trying to get away from that. And they're going to need your financial support. And that's the reason why they're going to have this. They're talking about three whales. I had a nice visit with Joe Lowcamper yesterday. And he's on this committee or in getting involved with this. I don't know if committee would be the terminology. But anyway, he's getting involved with this. And they're going to put down a series of pumps, and it's going to take lots of money. And believe it or not, I'm actually going to write, as chintzy as I am, I'm going to write a check to support this. And we need support from everybody else. And if you can give $5 or $5,000 or whatever, it is Friday, April the 6th, at 6 p.m. in Mound City, Missouri at the club. We, our new producer here, not new, but our regular guy, the good guy, is here today. Rudy, we can lambast him. He's not here. He can't defend himself. He's going, break, break, break. He's about to have a stroke in there behind the glass. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back with you. We don't need a radio show. We'll just listen to this music.
Yeah.
This is nice from the choice. '60s, isn't it? Probably. This is what I grew up listening to. And I got a Navita driving around Oregon, Missouri, the town square, with a half a can of cold beer. Didn't have a full can. We always had a half can, you know. Man, I can't believe that music. That you think about that? That music was beyond its, you know, it was cool.
That still is.
Still is to this day.
Well, to us anyway.
Yeah, we're old and gray. Hey, we're brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales. This has become a very good friend. We're very blessed with the sponsors that we've got. And I go meet with the sponsors. I don't just take sponsors. I go talk to them. And very bullheaded and stupid about that because I want to know what this guy is all about. And I met a gentleman by the name of Terry Lee. And a gentleman, too. A true businessman, very passionate about his business, and I could tell this guy cares. And for a lot of the farmers that we have listening to haul the grain, and they tend to run off in ditches and things like that with them, you know, tear up their trucks and their trailers and things like this, he can rebuild them. And he is so passionate about how successful they are and doing it right and doing it the right way. So Highway Trailer Sales, and they are located, well, I'll give you his, let's do it this way. He is located on 1850 Southern Road, which is off 435 across World Fund, kind of on the west side over there. And I can tell. His people, his gal in the office, everybody there was so pleasant and so nice and was so positive. And I like being around successful people. And this guy here was the best. So if you need a trailer, especially for you truckers, maybe a flatbed that's got wrecked or you got to have repairs on it with a guy that you can trust 110%, it's Highway Trailer Sales. And again, it is located at 1850 Southern Road in Kansas City, Missouri. And I will give you a phone number. I don't like giving away phone numbers on the air because nobody seems to really. But 816, this is one you need to write down, 483-3676. If they can't fix it, it ain't broke.
I would imagine it doesn't matter what size trailer it is.
It doesn't make no difference.
I've got a little 10-foot trailer
I need to have rebuilt. I know he does the big ones, but I bet he would stop whatever he's doing for you. But besides that, we're going to take his kid fishing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got to.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah,
he's
13 definitely. Years old, and we got to take this kid
but
fishing.
But you know we are going to ruin him.
Yeah, I know it. The poor kid will never be the same after he fishes one day with us. But anyway, Highway Trailer Sales Incorporated, Terry Lee. Call in there and talk to him directly. I guarantee you you're gonna like him. And you're going to like the way they do business on this thing. We've got, I hate to do this early in the morning to you, Greg Thompson's on the phone.
Oh, no, really? Well, yeah. There goes the show.
Yeah. He's been somewhere, I guarantee, where it's warm. I guarantee he's been in the sun, basking in the sun.
He does this. I don't know how he gets away with doing these kind of things so often, but.
I'm jealous.
Greg, are you there?
I am, and Fred, I still am, and do you remember the time you asked me where I was when I was doing an interview, and I said, I haven't a clue?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I was in the Nicaraguan jungle that time. I actually do know where I am now. I'm sitting on the beach in San Pedro, Belize.
Oh, you still are in Belize?
I am in Belize. I'm coming home today. I've been on spring break with my daughter, but I had a fantastic bone fishing trip yesterday.
Well, I know the weather wasn't very conducive to fishing. It's been real windy, but you were able to get out yesterday, right?
We went behind the island with a gentleman that had been fishing since he was a kid. And as soon as he pulled out that spin casting with about a 32nd ounce red-headed jig with a chartreuse body on it, I knew I was in love.
Good. I know I talked to you when you were on your way down there, and you said there was a lot of people coming off the airplane with their fly fishing gear, fly rods and whatnot, but you did not have to fly fish for them. You were just able to use a spinning rod.
I was able to use a spinning rod, and it was basically crappie fishing for bonefish. We were fishing shallow waters, and believe it or not, we would look for places where we could see a little bit of sand boiling, and he said that's where they were feeding, and sure enough, if you cast in that murky water, they would smack it.
So what's a lot? Is that the first bonefish you've ever caught?
These are the first bonefish that I've ever caught that I've remembered.
Describe how they remember. Yeah, that you remember. Yeah. So are they as bad to the bone as people say they are?
I'm going to tell you what, pound for pound, they're a pretty good fighting fish. You know, a pound bonefish, I didn't just drag right in. There was some fight to them. I was really surprised. Great fishing, great fight, and, of course, great view while I was doing it.
Yeah,
well, I'll bet. Yeah, you can't beat the scenery, can you?
Bone fishing is one of the most addictive sports you'll ever get involved in, especially if you do it with a fly rod.
Do you do any fly fishing, Greg?
A little bit, but I'll tell you what, for this old farm boy, fat boy, that's just too much work.
Did you catch anything besides bones?
I caught a shad.
Seriously.
And I hooked about a 30-inch across stingray.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that fight was on for a long time. Mr. Ramon finally said, just break the line. We don't have time to fight it that long.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. How fun.
Break the line. But, I hate to hear that.
If anybody gets a chance to do that, I would highly recommend it. It was very, very fun.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a particular guide that you could recommend to go down there for that?
Ramon Herrera. If they would just contact me through the radio station, I could hook them up. Most of these people down here, you know, don't have phones and things of that nature. So you've kind of got to know somebody that can get a hold of them down here. But there's plenty of services that do it. And I did see maybe 8 boats out yesterday. But considering the vast amount of water we had to fish, that wasn't too many.
Well, when you get back in town, maybe post that up on our website.
I'll do it. If they'll go to the website, I just this moment posted pictures of the fish from yesterday.
Whoa, oh, cool.
That's Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB. Well, Greg, I'm so happy that you caught a bonefish. I need to get down there and do that myself, though. I've never caught a bonefish, so I've got to see what all the hoopla is about.
I'll be more than happy to come back down here with you.
I knew you would.
Awesome.
Well, that's cool.
Well,
I'm not sure that we could bring Fred. I don't know whether shorts and rubber boots would look good down here, but, you know.
We can try it. Hey, I think they got a warrant for my arrest down there. I'm not real sure, but we'll see. I don't think I can get
I know you all have a wonderful program coming up for the rest of the show, so I'm going to get off here and let her on there.
Well, unbelievable that we were talking to you in Belize. I'm glad you called, man. That's thank you for getting up early and talking to us. Enjoy the rest of the trip.
Yeah, earlier here.
It's different time zone, Mark.
Well, be safe. Be safe coming home, Greg.
All right.
Okay,
talk to you later, buddy. All right,
bye. Bye-bye.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
Unbelievable.
Great time. He does a great job, him and my son, on our website. So check that out.
Last Saturday, we had brother Kelly Kurtz, the brethren of the turkey hunting world. He went yesterday. My cell phone rang about first light, and he had a video of a gobbler he shot in Nebraska with his bow and arrow.
Now, that's great.
And I'm so proud of him.
Well, he was kind of doom and gloom on the turkey situation out there last week.
Yeah, well, there are not that many birds.
Yeah, you said if anybody's going to get one, he would be the one to do it.
And he shot him with that Rage Supreme. He almost cut him in two. But other than that, man, I'll tell you, that kid can flat do it. If there's a turkey around, he can cut his head off with that arrow. You know, it amazes me they don't have a special archery season in Missouri. Kansas has one. Nebraska has one. I think a couple other states have them. You know, and they got youth season coming up, what, next Saturday, I think, in Missouri. I think that's when it is, but I got to look. But I don't know. You know, and when you go to Nebraska, when you go across the Rulo Bridge where we go out of, it's a steady string of pickup trucks from Missouri heading over for that archery season over there. And it's just revenue they're leaving on the table. I don't know what the tag is, but it's very expensive, but sure is cool on the darn thing. Who we got lined up for guests?
We have Mother Mushroom. Teresa Maybriar is going to join us after the break. It's getting to be close to that time.
Already finding them.
And there's nobody in the country knows more about mushrooms, not just morels, but mushrooms in general than Teresa does.
We are brought to you, before we go to this break, King City Lumber Company, kingcitylumber.com for you guys that need an outbuilding behind your house. Maybe you need a place for a loafing shed like I need for Mark Tobin.
That's right.
Or maybe you need a new barn to put the combine in or the tractor in, or we need a cabin built in the woods. Well, you can kind of scratch around with a lot of people flying there and bang and boom and put down the post and pour some cement and you never see them again. Or you can deal with King City Lumber Company who take pride in their workmanship. There is no finer family than you will do business with. Now, you're here every Saturday, I say the same thing. I was in a building the other day, it's 20 years old that they built. Looks like the day they built it. And they have such concern and passion, again, for what they do. They're not just boom and bang guys. They're master craftsmen, and they build them, and they build them right. King City Lumber Company. Call Marty or Monty up there, and they will take care of you, bend over backwards to help you. There's a catch to this. Tell them that you heard it here on WHB. We got to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back with you.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And joining me on the phone right now, one of my favorite people in the entire world. I fondly refer to her as Mother Mushroom. Some people would say the Queen of Mushrooms. She is Teresa Maybriar. Good morning, Teresa. How are you doing today?
I am great, Mark. You are so kind.
you are the best.
You don't know him like I know him, Teresa. He's not that kind.
Hey, I got an agenda this morning.
Yes, what's that?
Well, you know, everybody always asks, when do you go mushroom hunt or how do you know they're up? And I told you before, I'm not much of a computer girl, so I'd rather be the one in the woods doing it. So I was going to tell people my one true channel for how to find out if they're up yet.
What's that?
Well, for the novices in the city who don't want to get out until it's really, you know, prime time, when the dandelions are in all three stages, that's usually a pretty good clue, because they are a springtime plant that is affected by the weather. And since morels are temperature triggered, that's a very good indicator. But if you go out to the woods and you stand in front of trees that are dying and you stand still and you look for a second or two, just bring time to relax.
We're going to have to.
And you don't see anything.
Teresa,
their phone is cutting out so bad.
You're cutting out on us a little bit.
I don't know.
I'm going outside then.
Cause
I live in a tin box.
How cold is it outside?
Oh, it's not bad. Not bad at all.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So you go outside. So you go stand in front of a tree that's dying in the woods that you like to hunt, and give your brain a chance to relax so that it can see all the little parts in the woods. And if you don't see anything at that one, check out about 4 or 5. Don't spend more than 20 minutes. If they're there, you'll see them. If they're not, they're not up yet. And if they're tiny or small, give them a chance to grow, because they do grow, despite what people think.
Well, that was going to be one of the questions I was going to ask you. If you do see a small one, leave it. I mean, do you have any idea how long it takes for a mushroom to get to its possibly as big as it possibly can be?
So here's the weird thing. In the laboratory where they have controlled conditions, it's a 10-day growth. That's a long time.
Really? Wow. That long.
But in nature, what happens is, they can, if they come up and then it gets cool again, they can sit stagnant, you know, just like they were for a few days. But if you get a one night rain, they can quadruple in size.
Wow.
So it's kind of a hard thing to determine.
I guess.
Well, I had no idea that they would continue to grow. I just kind of figured that they popped up all of a sudden overnight, and they were as big as they're going to be just overnight.
But, well, the reason people think they pop up, and this is kind of strange, but I learned this at COSI in Ohio. It's a science museum. But what happens is when you're growing up, your brain trains you to protect yourself as you walk. That's why I'm stressed standing still and letting your brain relax, because in that protective mode, and guys are more macho than girls, so they tend to walk faster than boys anyway, your brain won't let you see them. You're snakes in the grass, poison ivy, whatever your bad experiences were as a kid. But only when you stand still, and guys would always say, well, I stopped to take a pee, and they just popped up all around me. Well, they didn't, but your brain is now relaxed because you're not walking. Mm, yeah. So now you see them. Or you stopped on a path to holler at the kids or the dog, and you just walked up that path, and you didn't see them, but they're there now. How could that possibly be? And it's a brain trick.
It is amazing how that happens. I mean, it seems like they appear out of nowhere. But then I see a stick that moves, and I think it's a snake. Or I see a three-leafed weed, and I think it's poison ivy. So I'm aware of other things out there that I'm looking for other than just the mushroom.
Right, exactly. And we all are that way. And if you become conscious of it, you can kind of put it to the side. The other thing is, once you see a mushroom, make sure everybody in your party looks at it in the ground. Because once you tell the brain that's important to you, then you can see them easier.
Now, wait a minute, Tracy. You don't understand Mark's brain. things like this, you know, if it's not bright red, he's not going to pick it. Or chartreuse. Now, if they were chartreuse, you'd find every one of them.
Well, you don't want to pick a bright red mushroom or you're going to die.
Well, yeah. Okay. Mark, there you go, buddy. What about these elephant ears? I heard the guy already finding those. Beef steaks.
Yes, they are. And they shouldn't really eat them. Here's what happens with the Geomyxers, the beef steaks. They have monomethylhydrazine, and believe me, it took me a long time to learn to say that word.
I'll bet.
But basically, it's a degree off of jet fuel. Toyota actually studied it to see if they could make jet fuel out of it.
What?
Or A-fuel.
No.
Well, it accumulates in the liver. So some people who will try it might get sick the first time they eat it. Some might even be hospitalized. I have a friend who has been eating them his whole life. Well, he's in his late 50s, and I told him, you know, if you die in your 60s, I'm going to put fire on your tombstone. I told him so.
Yeah.
Because that accumulation, sooner or later you hit that full point, and there's nothing they can do. It dissolves the liver.
No kidding. Wow.
Well, Mark's liver's destroyed anyway. This phone of yours is really cutting out, and it's really hard to understand you, Treats. I don't know what we're going to have to do about this, but it's not
but
good.
I'm going to get a landline for next time.
Yeah.
Wow, you know, I've eaten those beefsteaks before.
Don't do that.
No.
Don't ever do that.
No, I'd never had a problem. I've not eaten that many, but, man, I'm not going to eat
anymore. I knew something was wrong with you. I knew it, you know.
Well, I thought it was just age that was affecting my mental capabilities.
Yeah. Well, 60's awfully young to die, and now that I'm in that range, I certainly am not ready to go.
No.
Hang in there, Teresa.
Dang, wow.
Now, another technique that can help people find more mushrooms is, once they find one, look and see what trees are around, which ones aren't getting their leaves on when the other ones are, that look like they're stressed or dying, and then put your bag and have bright orange or bright limey green on. Set it down so that you can see it right by that mushroom, and then walk around that tree clear to the outer branches, looking at the ground in a circular motion, clear to the trunk, and back out the other direction. Do it high, do it low. You'll pick up far more mushrooms than you think.
Wow. That's a good tip.
That's a good tip.
Now, this time of year, what is there a particular... like if you're on a slope or a particular area that is more likely to produce mushrooms early, is it a south-facing bank, a north-facing bank? Does it make any difference, or are they just where the...
Absolutely. The open areas, of course, are going to warm up first, and then your south banks are going to warm up before anything else does because it's catching sun all day. And the west side, because afternoon sun is warmer than the morning, then your east, and then your north. So if you think about how snow melts in your area, it's kind of like that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
pretty simple. And the moisture has a lot of. What do they bring in a pound? Anybody? I mean, I like to go to the grocery store and buy them rather than go out and walk around and pick them up. What do they bring in a pound?
I was just in Michigan last month doing seminars up there for the big sports shows. Michigan's huge mushroom state. They love tourism for mushrooms. And they're growing mushrooms again in Scoville, which is a big plant that in its third year before got a fungus. Well, a new company bought it. They're trying again. Same thing's happening. So you may see some in the store, but they're like hothouse tomatoes. They have no flavor.
Oh,
nature's the way to go. So that's why we teach people to dry them so they can use them year-round. And once they're dried, they'll last forever, basically.
How do you dry mushrooms?
Well, it's not a hard process, but if you make a mistake, you can ruin them. So basically, after the goo's off the ground in the morning, lay them out on the screen so they get air underneath and over top. They don't have to be in the sun necessarily, but that doesn't hurt anything. And then take them out in the house into a cool, dry place at night before the dew comes back on. You cannot over dry them. So what we do is we just keep a screen in the basement and throw them on that till the end of the season. You cannot over dry these things. But if you under dry them and you put them in a mason jar to store them, you'll ruin that whole batch.
I tell you what, Teresa, we're getting such a terrible connection. We need to get you back on. How do they get your book? And we'll figure out some other. We'll get you back on in a couple of weeks, and that's when it'll be a little bit closer to the mushrooming anyway. So how would that be? Would that be okay?
Warm up.
All right.
Amazon.com. They're at Barnes & Noble. It's Morel Hunting, John and Teresa Maybrier.
All right, Teresa, we're going to have to let you go because this phone is just cutting out too awful much here.
Oh, sorry, guys.
I just hate that.
We'll get you back on.
So good to talk to you.
We'll get her back on.
We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great day.
All right,
you too, Teresa.
I just hate that when that happens, you know.
She's such a good guest.
She's just a wonderful human, too.
And do check out that book. It's John and Teresa Maybrier. You can go to Amazon and find that. But it's a great book. Got some great pictures in there and tips on how to cook them and how to dry them and all, just everything you'd want to know about mushroom hunting. But she is just so knowledgeable.
Great
person.
It's terrible. We have such a bad – I think she lives out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, she moved out just north and east of Springfield.
Yeah.
She's out in the woods, in the sticks.
Right by Elephant Breath, Missouri.
Yeah.
But it's a wide spot in the road down there.
It's just a little early. Some people are finding, like you said, some of those beefsteaks.
Yeah.
But it's just a little bit early for the morels yet.
It did get, my buddy got a picture text to him from Nixa, Missouri, little bitty gray ones.
Uh-huh.
That they did find a few down there. So it's getting awful close. We got to get her back on because people just love her.
Yeah, I know it.
You know, on the deal. Let's talk a little fishing, Mark. Blow the dam at Truman. I would assume they've got a pretty good rain down that way. The lake level's got to be up a little bit. I would think that they are run a little water. Should entice maybe a walleye bite?
Yeah, the lake is at 7.09. It's 2 foot high right now.
Is
almost
it?
3 feet high, so they are running a little bit more water right now. And the walleye, I mean, they're there. They are spawning, maybe even half done. But they are catching fish. From what I heard, first light, right before first light is the best. Evening is usually always another good time. But if you're going to go down there and hit it just before daylight. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be – I saw some an 8-pounder caught yesterday.
Oh, no.
But they're there and they're doing their thing. So
how are they catching them? What's going on?
Throwing jig. Most of them. Some people throw crankbaits, but most of them are throwing like a twister tail, something like that. A crawdad color has been really good, kind of a brown with maybe a chartreuse. They're there and they're starting. But some white bass are starting to show up too.
I would think so.
And
is it the hybrid bite not on?
I have not heard any. If the whites are there, the hybrids are going to be
close
behind.
Close.
But with them running the water and we've got more rain in the forecast, that's good. I mean, that's real good. And the thing about fishing down below the dam, not just the walleye, and if you're going to do that, I'd say, you know, the next week, 2 weeks at the most. But when they're running water like that, down below the dam is so much fun because you just don't know what you're going to catch. You could catch just about anything that swims in that lake is down below that dam.
Yeah.
So you might snag a spoonbill, you might catch a gar, a carp, but it might be a blue cat or a flathead, or you just name it, bass, crappie, white bass hybrids. It's
They're
just
there.
A blat. Yeah.
Yeah. I got some buddies that are going snagging. And I think they're leaving this morning, and they're probably listening. What have you heard anything at all?
Yeah, it's good. And with them running water, they're going to be moving a little better. But we talked last week. You know a guy that was fishing up at Roscoe.
Uh-huh.
And Roscoe is way up the Osage arm of Truman Lake. And I didn't think they'd be up there in big numbers yet because we just hadn't had that much rain. And you got to have current. They want to go upstream to spawn this time of year. And I didn't think we'd had enough of that to happen. But they are catching them up there. So, and now we've had this rain this past week, so I would imagine it was good, and now it's going to be even better. But we were seeing some big fish on Lake of the Ozarks around the 55-mile marker, 55-50-mile marker, and that's, you know, halfway through the reservoir. And those fish are going to start moving upstream now, too, with them running water. So it's good. And I talked about this, and I didn't get a chance to do this, but something that has become very popular with spoonbill snagging is trolling for them.
Yeah.
And some people are using, like, up to 3 pounds of weight and just trolling. And another thing that has become real popular is using Dipsy divers. Dipsy divers is a disc that is used to take your lure down to a specific depth. And typically, you troll a lure behind it. It's used for salmon fishing and things of that nature, lake trout. But some smarter people than I adapted this to spoonbill fishing. And they don't tie a lure on the back of it. They use the Dipsy diver to get down to whatever depth that the fish are holding. And then they'll tie their hook up above that between the Dipsy diver and the rod. And again, all you're doing is trolling. And that just beats the heck. We've done it. We've done the spoonbill snagging where, you know, you snag all day long, and it will flat wear you out.
Yeah.
Now, I am all for something that takes that part of it out. And from the people that I've seen, and there's lots of videos out there online of people demonstrating how to do this, but what an easy way to get those spoonbill. But I'm telling you say that spoonbill are no good, and for the most part,
they're not.
I would tend to agree with you, but I have had spoonbill that is quite edible. And the thing that is highly important, imperative if you want to eat these, is to cut their tail off and bleed them. Hang them from a dock, from your boat, whatever. Let them bleed out. And you do that, that takes a lot of that strong flavor out of it. And then, of course, you got to get the red meat out of it, just like any other fish. But there's a lot of waste in a spoonbill. But you got to get that red meat out of there. If you bleed them and get that red meat out of them, they're pretty darn good. And Mark Jr., he smoked some last week and cut them into strips and smoked them. Like, we marinated them in a brine for about, that was about 7 days.
That's what I figured, a week.
And, yep. and then smoked them. And it was really exceptional. I was going to bring you some.
Yeah.
But he ate it all.
Every weekend he's going to bring me something to eat, and he never shows up, you know. Hey, there's some Krispy Kreme donuts in the office back there. No coffee.
Oh, in the break room? Really?
There's three in there, and they've been in about a week, 10 days. Wow. But you could eat them. You'd think they were good.
Oh,
you know,
right.
I mean, anybody. Only two
days.
No,
okay.
They look a little harder than that. You use one of them for a spare tire on the way home. What the heck? But, you know, Mark, you talk about eating blue. And I had this same conversation. I was at Dick's Baits the other day. I was talking to you as I was walking in the door down there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to tell you the conversation, but it got kind of risque, the conversation did inside. But anyway, they said, does he really eat blue cat?
Well, you had it.
I had it out of the lake.
Right. Yeah. And maybe there's a difference.
I'm
willing to admit that there could be a difference.
There's a huge difference on this thing. But the blue cat, I mean, is very, very edible fish when you fixed it out of the lake.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time swallowing it out of the Missouri River for some reason.
Well, deal. Could be the
what
water
do you do
clarity.
Different on a blue cat? What do you, I mean, you're doing something different.
No,
a blue cat is a blue cat is a blue cat, I would assume.
I don't do anything different other than just get the red meat out of them. And they've
That's
got
it.
A lot of red meat between the, you know, the actual edible meat and the skin. And then there's a vein through the middle of the fillet that you want to get out of there. But you get the red meat out of it, and it's just as, I mean, you had it. It's as good as any other fish that I've ever had.
It was really, really good. Not the deal.
Well, you even said it was orgasmic.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Well, I don't know if I went to. I was trying
you
to be
did.
Nice.
Oh,
I was
okay.
trying to
well.
Be nice, and, you know, but I mean, the sun coming up's orgasmic to me, but well, at my age, you know, my birthday came, the candles cost more than a cake, you know, the deal, but what the hey. Crappie fishing below the dam. I heard guys catching a lot of crappie. Talked to a buddy who was down there. A lot of 6-inch crappie.
They're going through a lot of little ones to get a keeper down there. But up on the lake, it's different. There's a lot of, in fact, Richard Bowling, our guide extraordinaire on Truman Lake, he yesterday had two-pound fish. And it's on his website, Ooh. Richard Bowling. If you look him up on Facebook, you'll see him. But, yeah, some big quality fish. And he's catching them anywhere from the backs of coves and 3 to 7 foot of water on and then all the way out on Main Lake Flats. But they're just they're starting to scout around a little bit. That's still far from getting into the actual spawning rituals, but yeah they're really, but I, you know, talking about again going back to the spoonbilling, and I saw two boats getting towed in last weekend.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
And we said it right here, it was going to happen.
I know, it does every year. It's usually around spoonbill season because that's the first time people are getting their boats out for the first time. But I'm taking Dave Hemme and Joe Falco fishing in a couple weeks. Dave Hemme is the head mechanic.
Oh, that'd be great.
At Sportsman's Outfitting and Marine. Yeah, my boat's in there. I'm having a new trolling motor put on.
You got room for two more? I'm take the producer. We'll all get in the boat same time.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Is there mass quantities of beer involved with this, or is this a
Joe does not drink.
Joe does not drink. Smart man.
Yeah, and I don't know about Dave. I've never fished with him before, but I'm looking forward to going with him. And again, I mentioned the boat's getting towed in. And that usually revolves around the first time you get the boat out, and it just doesn't have to be that way. Take it out there. They'll do a 32-point check on it. They'll check everything on it, and you can get out there on the water and just rest assured that you're not going to have a crummy ending to your fishing trip.
What's his business, Sportsman's?
Sportsman's Outfit and Marine. They're in Belton. It's the last Belton exit off just on the west side of 49 Highway.
Yeah, I like those guys.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a problem with your boat. If you own one, eventually you're going to have a problem with it. And just keep them in the back of your mind whenever you need them.
Well,
nobody better to have your boat worked on.
We're about wrapping this thing up. Guess I'm going to go up to see Trev and Reed up at. We're going over a little dirt work we're going to do, but I like going to Reed Chevrolet because I like being around successful people. And one Saturday they sold 22 brand new cars up there. I mean, you can't do that in St. Joe, Missouri. And why are they doing that? Because they're good humans, and they're going to treat you with respect. Non-commissioned salesman, lifetime. Oil changes
free,
and they give you a candy bar.
Yeah,
when you get your oil change, that's worth something. I unwrapped it, said Hershey's in underneath of it, but what the hey, it kind of fooled me there for a little bit. But they're good humans. If you guys are out in the mode today to get a Chevrolet pickup, but who isn't, the Silverado, this is the finest people in America to do business with. We got to go. This goes by way too. I wish we could have got Teresa back on a
little
bit better.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
We'll get her back on.
Yeah, if you're into mushroom hunting, look up their book on Amazon, Mushroom Hunting with John and Teresa Maybrier.
Yeah. Boy, I'm actually going to go do it this year. I'm going to go mushrooming a lot.
Well, a couple of weeks, I would say.
Yeah.
Probably.
Maybe.
But I don't know. If they're talking snow in a couple of weeks, that cold weather really puts the kibosh on it.
A week from today, they're talking about another snowstorm.
Yeah, that's
not long range weather.
But I'm done eating those beefsteaks.
Yeah, really.
So that was kind of scary.
Yeah, it was. Tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoor.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.